This week we begin the reading in Devarim, or as we know it in English, Deuteronomy. It is the fifth book of Moses, and it is a retelling and recounting of many of the important things that have happened to the children of Israel. As well, it's a time that certain details are introduced that are not covered at other times. So I think it helps us understand just how important it is to take a second look at certain things in order to really understand. First impressions, even in life, and even memories of life may be distorted or they may not be fully accurate, and it's useful to stop and recollect. How many of you like to get together with family and recall things that have happened? I love to do that. How many of you find that your memory of certain events is different than your siblings or your parents? Well, that's part of human nature. And Moses is taking a moment in this fifth book to share what's on his mind. And it's not just what he's thinking about, but he's spending time in fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord is showing him certain things that he needs to pay attention to and to draw the children of Israel's attention to as well. So he's inviting all of Israel to take a second look at the journey through the wilderness, and he's speaking specifically to the generation that is going to go into the promised land. And Moses himself is not. Now, we learn a lot of interesting things about people when they're facing death or when they're in trouble. You know, when everything is going well, isn't it easy to smile? When everything's going your way, don't you feel good? But when things are going against you or there are difficulties that you don't really feel prepared for, that's when you discover what's really inside of you. Because each of us is sort of like a sponge. We can be squeezed and things come out of us. Each of us has things hidden in our hearts and in our minds that are only revealed under pressure. Now, how many of you want patience, for instance, in your life? And how many of you have ever prayed for patience, like I have? And how many of you, like me, have regretted that prayer later? Because I wanted patience, but when I was asking for it, I didn't realize what it was going to take to build that patience. What does it take to build patience? Tribulation, trouble, difficulty, waiting, not getting things when you want it, how you want it. And so whenever we're saying, God, give me patience, we're asking him to take us through such things that transform us. It's sort of like saying, God, give me strength. And then we realize strength is built through resistance. Strength is built through difficulty. Strength is built and increased as you work beyond your current level of strength. And with strength comes a little pain, right? And so every time we're saying, God, give me patience, God, give me strength, we are asking God to put us in a situation where those things develop in us. They don't just happen naturally or automatically. Have you ever prayed, God, give me more love for people? I have. And sometimes he then puts me in a situation where more unlovable people enter my life. Or where I find the limits of my own capacity. And I find that I become one of those unlovable people. I have no more love to give, and certain people find that out. Right before we went on vacation in May, I said, I'm about to do dangerous things. I need to get out of here. Because I was exhausting my own human resources. And we all do that. We all get to the end of ourselves sometimes. But the good news is that we're not alone. That we who are trusting in God can be renewed and strengthened, and it's not all sorrow. It's not all difficulty. In the times of difficulty, God draws near to us, and he also lifts us up in a higher way, and he builds our strength. He builds our capacity. I see such qualities in Moses that are really inspiring to me, because the book of Deuteronomy is written by Moses from this very clear perspective that he's about to die, that his life is almost over, and that he is not going into the promised land. What God had called him to do, to lead the children of Israel to the promised land, is now stopping short for him. Not for all of Israel, but for him. And what we see in Moses is a lot of reflection, a lot of introspection even, a moment of blame. You read about that this week when he tells all Israel, it's because of you that I can't go in. But it's not just because of them, it's because of him. And it's not just a tragedy, it's part of life. Now, when I think of how Moses holds on to God and to the calling of Israel, it helps me understand something, that Moses actually continues to have confidence about what's ahead. Even though his role is going to be different, even though his participation is going to be different, even though he's going to die, he can see far enough ahead to understand God is going to be faithful to finish what Moses has started. I think this is a reflection on Moses' confidence of eternal life, because he understands he's dying and he's going to be gathered together with the fathers of faith and be reunited with the God of Israel to live forever with God. So his death is not a huge tragedy, it's just a momentary loss. Do you understand that's the nature of death for those who belong to God? When you die, you leave those who you live with and love, but you go to those who are with God forever. And so death is a passing, and that's why in English we like to say someone passed away. Because they didn't just disappear. It's not that everything is over. If they're with God, they pass from this life into eternal life. And so Moses has this anticipation. And to be honest with you, there are times when Moses was ready to die earlier. There were times when he was looking at the burdens of leading Israel and he said to God, just take me now. It would be easier. You see, Moses knew that life eternal awaited him, and so he was expectant of that, and at certain times he just wanted to rush ahead, but he knew something, that God still had a plan for him and purposes for him. And so he wasn't suicidal, he wasn't terminally depressed, he strengthened himself. Do you know sometimes you got to get things out of your system, and you got to tell God the truth that you're holding inside, and when you tell him, you get released from it? Have you ever been frustrated and you didn't want to tell God that, but you told everybody else? And you thought God wasn't listening? He hears. And so you may as well go to God first and say, God, I'm frustrated. I need help. And sometimes, like King David, you have to speak it out in order to be restored and renewed in your faith and your hope. So Moses has just a moment. I don't think it's self-pity, it's a little bit of blame, but he's saying, Israel, it's because of you that I'm not going into the promised land. But remember this, it's because of Israel that he was even headed towards the promised land. Without Israel, he would have been stuck, what? Taking care of bad black sheep. Have you any wool? For how many more years before he died? But he actually received a calling because of Israel's calling. And he participated in that. So Moses had confidence of eternal life, but he also had another kind of confidence. He had confidence of Israel's future, that even without him, Israel had a future. Even though his life was coming to an end, Israel was not coming to an end. Even though he was the favored son and the leader of all of Israel, Israel was going to go forward without him. Now, it's a terrible thing to know, but it's a wonderful thing to know that God can go forward without you. It's terrible because don't we all wish that everything depended on us in some way? And then don't we feel bad when all the weight of that is on our shoulders? So we want to be, in some ways, indispensable, and then we feel that. It's like, oh, God, I can't take it. Get me out of here. Well, he really wants us to get out of that mentality where we think everything depends on him. In fact, everything depends on God, not on us. Everything that you and I can possibly do requires that we maintain a good relationship with God, and we understand at any moment he can say, okay, now it's time for the next one. So Moses has confidence of eternal life, and he has confidence of Israel's future. And I compare him to Yeshua, who had those same confidences. Yeshua, when he was facing death, understood that eternal life was on the other side. What was one of the hardest theological concepts, if you will, for the disciples of Yeshua to accept? It was that he had to die, that he had to suffer and die for the sins of humanity, and that he would then rise from the dead and there would be an eternal future based on that. That was extremely difficult for everyone to believe. In fact, it was only after he rose from the dead that people accepted this as true. Prior to that, it was unacceptable. One time when Peter was trying to argue with Yeshua about this point, Yeshua said these terrible words, "Get behind me, Satan." And it wasn't that Peter was Satan, it was that this idea is a satanic idea. The actual idea from God was that Yeshua had to die, because he had to suffer for the sins of mankind. He had to pay the price. And he had to become a perfect sacrifice so he could rise from the dead and bring redemption for us. That was the victory of God over sin and death. And to resist it was not love on the part of Peter. To resist it was foolishness. What was real love was to say, God, we're with you through the end. Yeshua had confidence in eternal life. Not only the eternal life that God works through resurrection, for his own body, but the eternal life that God can work through resurrection for all of us. And Yeshua also had confidence in Israel's future. That's why he was able to tell those who followed him, "Greater things will you do than I have done." And why he was able to say, "I'm going to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit to you so that God in you can do great things for every generation and every situation." And so we see in Yeshua the same thing we see in Moses, great confidence in eternal life, great confidence in Israel's future. All these things are on my mind as I'm contemplating the 25th anniversary of Beth Israel. Because people came before, and people will come after us. People have used their gifts and talents and made a way for another who uses their gifts and talents. Some serve in one way, some serve in another way. And God has given each one of us different gifts to be used at different times and in different ways so that every one of us can do our part, but so that no one of us can do it all. You might look at a person next to you if you like them and tell them, "You can't do it all. And neither can I. And you don't have to do it all. And neither do I. But you can do your part, and so can I." And those things are on my mind as we're contemplating this really wonderful moment of our history. You see, the journey isn't ours alone. That's part of Moses' message. He's saying, "I came to lead you, but you have to go forward together with God." And you can go forward. You know what I like about Moses? He's not looking at Joshua and saying, I don't think this guy can do it. Because he's not me. I don't think he's got it in him. I mean, he's only been an assistant. He's only been a helper. But in fact, Moses had great confidence in Joshua. That's why Moses changed Joshua's name. Do you remember Joshua's given name was Hosea? Which is a prayer, "God save us." And Moses changed it to Yehoshua, which is God is our salvation. It's like an answer. It's like, I don't want that question, that prayer all the time. I want the answer here, is what Moses was saying to Joshua. And I think in doing that, Moses was conveying his own confidence in God and God's ability to use every one of us. I was thinking about this. Others go before us and others come after us. Another way of saying it is we go before other people and we come after other people. Others have preceded us. Others will succeed us. The journey is not ours alone. I love what Rabbi Tafron said in Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, verse 21. He said, it's not your duty to complete the work, but neither are you free to desist or abstain from it. You see, you and I don't have to do everything, but that doesn't mean we can sit on the sidelines and watch while other people do their part. So you might turn to that person who you were smiling at earlier and saying, you've got stuff to do, and you can do it. And you might turn to someone who's sitting behind you, because, you know, it's our custom to turn to people sitting to your side. But look, turn around and look at someone further back and say, we need you. We need you. We need one another. We depend on those who have gone before us, and we will depend on those who come after us, and we appreciate all those who have labored before us, even if we didn't know them or fully know the work that they did. Whenever you meet someone who went before you, you should thank them for having opened up a way. Tomorrow we'll acknowledge some of those folks who were there at the very beginning of Beth Jacob, who opened up their homes or had ideas for Beth Jacob to come into existence. And we want to give honor to those who were there at the beginning. It's a wonderful thing to be part of starting something. It wasn't their obligation to finish. It's our obligation to keep going and to keep going further and further. I'm just excited. I'm excited that we as a congregation have made it this far and that we can make it again this far, that others will be added to us who will take it further than we could imagine for ourselves, that the things that we desire for God to do, He can do, and He will add to us others now and others in the future, some we don't even know, some perhaps who have not even been born yet. And they will do things that contribute to the future of this congregation and build on what all of us have done ourselves. It's a wonderful thing to be part of a congregation that has a history. We all know that some of the history is filled with tears and some with joy. That's the nature of life. Some sorrows and some great gladness. But now the last thing to do, turning to someone, just smile at them and say, we've made it this far. We've made it this far. We're going to keep making it. We're going to go forward. And let's do it together. I just want to close with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for all those who have labored from the very beginning of Beth Jacob until this very day. For those who were there at the beginning who saw something, whether it was even from afar or they saw clearly, we thank you for them. We thank you for those who have carried responsibility and served in ministry and served in leadership over the years. Thank you, Lord, that each person has had an opportunity to serve you in this congregation, to even make a mark, to make a difference. Thank you, Lord. Would you encourage hearts of every person who has served on behalf of this congregation. Thank you for all those who stood together with you in this congregation during times of testing and who confirmed with you the calling of this congregation. Thank you that they persevered and we can stand on their shoulders and persevere too. We are grateful, Lord. for your faithfulness to us. And let it be, Lord, that the perseverance of this congregation gives hope to each one of us and to our families to persevere through difficulty and through joy, through hardship and through celebration, that we would remember that you who called us keep us, and that you save us, and that you renew us, and you refresh us. And you tell us that the vision will bring us protection. Thank you, Lord, that we can communicate vision so that we ourselves and others with us can run with it. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing, can we? If everyone can stand up and no one stand alone. Come, Sandy and Ethan. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Join us together for some fellowship.